I came to church really going to preach another sermon. This is getting kind of contagious, isn't it? And I just sat in there, and the Lord just started working and moving in my mind. And you said, well, you mean you had the wrong one? You brought the wrong one here? I may have, but all I know is he led me to this one. And can I start out like this? I really have no clue how I'm going to do this, so you just let the Holy Spirit minister you like he's ministering to me right now. I'm thinking, what would my life be if I made the wrong choices? I bet you there's people in this room, your life would have been different if you made the right choices. I bet you a lot of you raise your hand. And you can make some choices in life that really are not going to affect you in the long term. I made some when I was a boy that probably the crazy, stupid stuff kids do. I'm thankful that didn't leave a scar on me for the rest of my life. But I'm going to talk about a choice this morning that probably a lot of us in this room's never made. I know the unsaved's not made it. Can I give you a little background of my life? Can I just, most all of y'all heard my testimony, and I don't want to go over and over and over it. But I was raised kind of rough. I was raised on Chandler's Branch. Anybody know where Chandler's Branch is? Good place to be from. Rough place. I mean, it was probably Orchard Manor was across the road. It's a rough place to be raised. I was raised by a dad who was a bartender. All I know in my whole existence that all he done for a living was he had a bar. And I do know this, my mother works at Sears. I'm going somewhere, please be patient with me. My mother worked at Sears, and she's a good woman, loved God, married to him, and he was a good man, but he owned a bar and never took a drink in his whole life. I never heard him use a curse word in his whole life, that I ever heard him, but he's still lost. And I was raised like that, and I was dropped to that bar when I was 3 years old. I don't remember it. I do remember I did a funeral a few years ago, and I led a man to the Lord, a dear black man to the Lord. I had one leg. His name's called Bates. I led him to the Lord that day, and he come to me crying and weeping. He was weeping. He was weeping, and he started apologizing to me, Chad. Said, I'm sorry. And I didn't know what he was sorry about. He said, when you were 2, 3, 4 years old, we took your baby bottle and filled it up with beer. And my life began like that. And then when I got a little older, I was athletic. I did have a letter of intent to WVU to play football. Tried out for the Reds to play baseball and was a real good basketball player. And I thought that was what was going to take me through life. But I found out that's not what life's all about. So when I was 20, I was a lonely soul. I was a ship without a stern. I was a ship without a captain. I was a person that was heading down and most likely wouldn't have lived much longer. But there was a day I came face to face with God. And I was given an opportunity to make a choice that was going to change me forever. I did not know that it would lead me to Chase Valley Baptist Church. I did not know that it would help me pastor the greatest church in America. But that one choice, that one volition of mine to turn from my sin and turn from my ugliness and make that one choice, it made me understand life. It made me understand death. It made me understand everything in between. One choice. I'll read you the choice. Look at Matthew 6:33. And then go to Colossians and I'll be done in a moment. I know this is different preaching this morning. But I pour my heart out. There's folks in here that's lost. You've never made this choice. And this is bad to say. There's people in here that's Christians that's never made this choice, although you are saved. Look at Matthew 6:33. Are you there? Say amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now notice this last clause. And all these things shall be added unto you. And he just talked about all your physical necessities, all the things it takes to go through life, to enjoy life. He said every one of them will be taken care of if you make that one choice. Amen. Now I want you to turn to Colossians 1. I'm bogged down, Dave. I do know I'm glad I made that choice. Because I'd probably be looking through life at a whole different prison if I would not have made that choice to put him first in my life or at least acknowledge his lordship. Colossians 1, let me read this and I'm trying to put this together as I go. Who had delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible or invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Glory to God. All things were created by him. And listen to this. And for him. Amen. He is before all things. And by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I want to speak this morning on this subject. Why you should put him first. Is that all right? That's what I'm preaching on. then plan to preach on it. I guarantee there's people in this room, you look back in your life and wish you put him first. Can I give you some good news? With God, it's never too late. And I know some of you thinking, boy, this is not your normal style of preaching. It's what God wants me to preach today. Let me give you three things, or four, or whatever. Look at verse 13 and 14. I love this. We ought to put him first because Jesus is Lord of the cross. He's Savior. He is the only one that could have mounted that cross and make a difference. Because he was virgin born. Because his blood was not the blood of man. It was the blood of God. Hey, we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by his precious blood. Jesus is Lord of the cross. And because of that, that denies universalism. Hey, by the way, let me say this to you. I don't want to upset you. You weren't born a child of God. You were born lost. He's not the big man upstairs. He's a holy, thrice holy God that is in control of salvation and in control of your life, and your only hope is in him. And it denies universalism and deism and fatalism. Oh, I know there's a group that says, well, you were either born to be saved or born to be lost, and you have no choice, but that's a lie right from hell. Because why would he say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if he didn't want every one of us to be saved? What a cold statement that would be if he was going to leave some of us lost and let some of us be predestined to hell. What a cold statement. That's not love. That's perversion. But my God loves the whole world. My God, his will was for everybody to be saved.
Amen.
In that, he's Lord of the cross in verse 13. He's delivered us from the power of Satan. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this as quietly, maybe, as I can. We have had a good 3 weeks. I know since I've been back, it's been a good 3 weeks, and it was good when I heard the other preachers when I wasn't back. We've had a good 3 weeks. And a lot of people have been saved these last 3 weeks. But I want all y'all to know, there's some of you that's here in here this morning. I know the power of Satan's got a hold of you. And that doesn't mean you're out here doing wicked stuff. All that means is that you have been, he is robbing you and he is denying you the greatest choice, and that is to put him first. The devil is trying to give you every excuse why you shouldn't be saved. But God says, I'll deliver you from the power of Satan. The Holy Ghost of God convicted you. The blood of Christ this morning to forgive you is enough to jerk you from the power of Satan and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Have you remember the day you were under the grips of the devil? He had you by the throat. He had you pinned down. You were going down for your last time. But God intervened and convicted you and drawed you and delivered you from the power of Satan.
Amen.
And has transferred you into the kingdom, his kingdom. Look at me. This is amazing, huh? Dave, this is amazing. There was a day in my life, I was walking into the kingdom of darkness. Blind as I could be. And then, now a lot of people don't preach this. And then, Holy Ghost conviction got me. And I did something for the first time. I repented. What'd you do? I saw my blackness. I saw my lostness. I saw my desperateness. And I repented and said, I know I'm wrong. God, forgive me. But that ain't all I done, Chad. That's not all I done. And you can say you're sorry and have a little worldly sorry because something went bad in your life. But that ain't what happened to me. Holy Ghost conviction got a hold of me. And I repented of my sin and changed my mind about sin. But I turned from my sin and turned and made him my choice. And he transferred me into his kingdom. Does that do anything for y'all? Now notice verse 14. And God has redeemed us through his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know what? I dare say, look at me. There may be people in this room, because of choices you made in your life, you are eat up with guilt. You're eat up with guilt. There is only one thing that can deliver you from guilt and make you have a clear mind and not worry about all the bad choices you made. And that is the forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus. He blots out your sin. He puts them into a sea of forgiveness, never be remembered against you no more. And he'll never bring them back up. Because Chad said it, he declares you righteous. You ask me why I'm happy. I'll tell you why. My sins, they're all gone. He said, where are they? They're all into a sea of forgiveness. To be remembered against me no more. How many think that's wonderful? Amen. That we were on the way to hell, making bad decisions, making awful decisions, and then God transfers us into his kingdom. He's Lord of the cross. I'm bogging down. I am. Let me go, Father. I may not get past point one. You know what he did? Now, I want to say this to you. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You know what he did? He became sin for you. Now, he didn't just... He did substitute for you. But he did more than that, Lois. He became you. He became a drunkard to deliver drunkards. He became a religious person to deliver religious people. He became sin. He became everything good, ugly. You know why God couldn't even look on his own son and turn his back on his own son? Because his own son bore it all on Calvary. I'm going to skip a point. I'll just give you the last one. Jesus is Lord on the cross. But lastly, Jesus is Lord over the church. He is leader. Turn down to verse 18. I want to give you this. I'm trying to find a way to get off this ship. Look what it said in verse 18. But let me read verse 17 first. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Before I go any further, let me cover that. I did a study on the word consist. Let me ask you a question. Whether you're saved or unsaved, Anybody in here ever feel like your whole life has fallen apart? Am I it? Now, if y'all have ever had your life fall apart, have you ever had your life fall apart, raise it. You know what that word consist means? It means he's the super glue. I know some of y'all looking at John Smith and look at Chad and Brother Dave and others. And you think, man, them boys have it together. They're cool dudes. Nobody ever called me cool. Man, they got it together. Absolutely not. If it wasn't for God holding us together and gluing us together and having us together, we'd fall apart. And it's hard to tell what we would be if it wasn't for him holding us together. Some of you is going through trials right now. The only reason you haven't beat your head against the wall is that God of God that'll hold you together.
Amen. Amen.
I wasn't going to cover that, but I thought maybe it should. Lastly, Jesus is Lord of the church. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. The firstborn among the dead, that in all things he might might have the preeminence. I had somebody in, and we all do this grammatically because we're all about half stupid. I had somebody call me this week and said, "How's your church doing down there at Taze Valley?" And I looked at him and I said, "Oh, you ought to thank God it ain't my church. I would make a mess of it. It's his church. This ain't about me. I almost died about 6 weeks ago. You'd have found out it wasn't about me. It ain't about me. It ain't about a deacon board that we got the best. It ain't about our youth that we got the best youth crew. It ain't about our seniors and we got the best seniors. It ain't about the middle age that we got some of the greatest middle aged people in the world. It is about Christ.
Amen.
He is the one that's led us, I know, at least for 43 years. Somebody help me preach. He's first in position and he's first by the resurrection. The resurrection just proved he was first. But I want you to look at verse 19. I'm closing. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He has fullness. Chad, I thought about you. Do you have any regrets? Name one. Want me to name it? You regret you went to West Virginia State University and got a student loan.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Anybody else? I don't want them to die, I'll tell you. When I had that brush with death about 6 weeks ago, and I really thought I was dying. I wasn't, but I thought I was. My wife said I wasn't, and Chad said I wasn't, but I never believed either one of them. Can I tell you something, though? Can I tell you? Can I tell you something? If that would have been it, and it was close to being it, I can tell you, I have no regrets in choosing Christ. And though I've had my ups and I've had my downs, this man right here will tell you, I've had one of the most full, wonderful lives a man could have. And you know why? Not because I got any intellect. Not because I make all the right choices. It's just because I made one right choice. Didn't make a lot. But I made one. And then look what he done for me in verse 20, and I'm done. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, I'm glad I got peace with God today. Amen. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Look at me. How many in this room, without raising your hand, would say, there's some things in my life that's happened. I just really don't understand them. And they trouble me. I feel sometimes like I'm going about half crazy because of circumstances that's happening in my life. Can I tell you, this morning, it all can turn around. You can know what life's all about. You can have victory in life and forgiveness. And how many believe peace is the greatest thing you can have? If I'd have died back there 6 weeks ago when I thought it might have happened, I can tell all y'all this. I can tell you this. I lied. I was not scared of that. I wasn't. I really wasn't anxious to be like that. What an obituary. Preacher dies of a golf accident. He wrecks a golf cart. I really didn't want to go out like that. Boy, I got a story to tell the rest of my life. Golf cart driver wrecks and kills himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I had peace. Do you? I'm going to ask you, are you troubled? Do you? You have peace? You have peace if something happens in your life today that you know you're going to heaven? Do you have peace as a Christian that you're in the will of God and you're not living in sin and you don't have skeletons in your closet, and if you do, you need to get them out, and you made that right choice? He's first. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many right now say, Preacher Smith? And folks are getting ready to be baptized. I have never accepted Christ as Savior, and I've never put him first. Bow your head with me. Bow your head with me. Let's try not to move around a lot. How many right now say, Preacher, I've never trusted Christ as Savior? Raise your hand. Raise it up. I've never. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Come on. Preacher, I should have made that decision years ago, and I didn't. And I used excuses. And some of them weren't bad excuses, but I used them. And here I sit lost. Preacher, pray for me. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Preacher, I'm saved. But I am making choices now that God wouldn't be pleased with. Preacher, I'm doing things in my life I know are wrong. And I'm kind of ashamed of myself. I know I'm saved, but I'm doing things that real Christians don't do. Let me slip up your hand and say, pray for me as a Christian. God bless you. God bless you. Stand with me. If you need to make that choice of putting Christ first, why don't you just come? Why don't you just come? I need to make the choice to put Christ first. After I pray, will you come? Our Father. Lord, there's folks here. There's things happening in their life they don't understand. Some of them has seen death come by their way, and they still can't hardly explain it. Some of them has passed up a call for salvation and a call for service. Some of them has just absolutely made the wrong decisions. God, I pray right now that they would repent and come and get saved. In Jesus' name, amen.